So what it means to me is like, what is the question again?
This commitment means a lot to me.
My commitment means to me that I'm becoming less selfish and that I am going to spend more time helping people and that I will do that subconsciously in my future.
This commitment got me back into tithing. I own a small business, so I'll be tithing 10% each week of what I make.
My commitment means that I'm giving my time to help the church and whatever they need, and my money to help the church.
Tithes are not mine, it's not my money, it's God's money, so my commitment is to know that nothing is mine.
I realized that I need to give more time to God first before I put any time into something else.
So with my commitment, I feel like I'm helping the church to do fun things with the kids and good events and to be able to add things onto the church to make it look better and to level out the backyard.
To give back to God because he's given me a lot and, you know, to not hold myself back and to give all myself to him.
I'm going to try committing some of my money by selling what I get from my toys because I still have some toys that I don't really use as much. And that's just the right thing to do. It's the best thing to do. And you also get you get growth out of it.
This whole series for me, I think, has made me trust in God more, made me realize that I'm not trusting in him fully, and it's also made me wait on him and like his plan for me, as well as like the money that I have decided to give, just waiting on his timing and knowing that he'll provide that money.
I think being able to trust him, not only with my time and my commitment, because that's easy for me, but with my money and knowing that he will find ways that I can give to church and not just take all my money and leave. Like, God's gonna come through with it, and he's going to come through with equipping me for my time and my commitments.
My commitment means to me that I commit my time and everything that I have to God.
This commitment to me has helped me give more time to the kids and handprints down in the main church.
Doing worship with the Sky Youth and helping out in little steps, and also helping out in tech, like just getting my time.
I'm giving because God gave to me by dying on the cross, and that's how he gave to us, so I'm giving back to him.
The reason why I donated is because Jesus is my savior.
It made me feel safer with the trust in God. I should help out more, respect those around me.
I'm giving God because he gave to me.
I'm giving because God saved me.
So this is my first day back here in a while. When I was listening to the videos with my older sister, we were thinking about giving in money for the church because God will eventually bless you.
He saved us from our sins when he died on the cross.
When I was younger, being committed meant giving my offering and maybe like 50 cents of what I made as a kid. But over the years, I've forgotten about that, but this commitment really brings me back to it and helps me restart.
To me, my commitment means that I'm giving my time, energy, and money to serve God and to show his goodness through me.
Good morning. Great to see everybody this morning. Delighted to be with you. Our teens did last week what we're going to do this week, and they had their commitment Sunday. I am looking forward to December 3rd when we reveal the commitments that were made, because I was really blown away by the number that came out in terms of what they've decided to give and the faith steps that they've taken. It's really cool to look forward to. So today I want to talk about not what you can take home and do at home. Today I want to talk about what we're going to do today. Today is Commitment Sunday, and we have been, I'm unfinished and you're unfinished, our church is unfinished, and we've been marching toward this day when we would fill out our commitment cards and really act in faith based on what God is doing in our lives, how he's been challenging us and moving us forward. And before I do, I just want to take and share three really quick things with you from the story of Abraham. And we're not going to go back and learn a new thing from Abraham, but three quick things that we noticed as we watched his journey moving forward. We'll start with Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was going, conquering, and he actually got to the Himalayas, and he asked his right-hand man, he said, okay, where are we? And he said, I don't know where we are. I think we've marched right off the map. I think we've conquered right off the map. And he said, listen, we need to go back to where we're familiar, what we're familiar with. And Alexander the Great said, listen, mediocre armies, they move forward and capture, but they make sure they stay where they know where they are. But great armies, they march right off the map. And today, for many of us, that's what we're going to do. We're going to march off the map. We're going to take this step of faith that we've never taken before and see what God is going to do. Now, if you're with us today and you're our guest, I am so glad you're here. It's a pretty cool day for you to be here. You get to sit back, relax, and watch what the people around you are going to do. They've been on this journey, and they're going to take some pretty big steps of faith today. And we look forward to you hanging out with us and finding out who Jesus is, and one day being able to go, wow, I get it now. With what Christ is doing in my life, I want to step into this place. So let's jump off. First observation, what you commit to reveals what you trust and who you are. We're going to focus on the what you trust part of it. Abraham, as we watched him through his life, we saw he was not a perfect man. He struggled a number of times, but we watched him make commitments and grow in his faith. We watched as he made these commitments and then worked his way through them, it really revealed who he was to where at the end of his life, we were amazed that he was willing to give everything to God and the way that God turned around and gave to him. And here's some revealing words from Jesus. He said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, but where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, that's what you're committed to. That's where you make your commitments to. You've done this. You've done this in your careers. There's been a point in your life when you're like, hey, that's what I trust. And you gave your commitment, your first and best. Others have done that. You've done it. Those of you are a little bit older, you might be like, yeah, I'm doing it with my retirement. Yeah, that's where your trust is. That's what you give your first and best to. For some of you, you've done it with fashion. It was all about the way you look. And you gave your first and best to the way you look. For me, I would say one of the areas I've done this in is my house. Is I've often sometimes given my first and best to the house. Like, hey, that's where I trust. That's where my trust is. But not today. Today, our treasure, by the way, where do you think your treasure is? Where is your treasure? As you live your life, what do you trust? It reveals. Like, if somebody was to follow you around and be able to go, like, ah, that's what they trust. I got some really good news for you. This is really cool. What you trust, it's not a place. What you trust, it's not a thing. What a believer trusts is Jesus. As we've worked through this series, week after week after week, what have we been doing? We've been engaging God. We've been interacting with God. And today, that's what we're going to do. This blue card, it represents who we trust. The second one is that committing to a life of generosity is just a part of following Jesus. This part is the who you are part. Abraham, throughout his life, began to discover who he was. And as he made these commitments, it showed who he was. He discovered he was the one who was blessed to become a blessing. He was the one, as you watched his life, you saw him more and more and more pick up energy and pick up that realization, wait a minute, this is who I've been blessed to bless others. Around Skyline, we have this question. Who does Jesus say that you are? And we've discovered that by God's grace, because of grace, when you've come to know Christ as your personal Savior, the answer to that question is, you are generous. That's who you are. You see, this card today does not represent what you should do or what you ought to do. We keep saying that, right? Do not do this because you think, oh, that's what I should do. That's what I ought to do. That's not what this card represents. It represents who you are. And Jesus says, you are generous. In Romans, it says that you want exactly what Jesus wants. In other words, if I were to ask you, what do you want? And you could go to the heart of who you are, it's, I'd love to be generous. That's who I am. There's a passage in Proverbs that says this, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. That's us. That's us today. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. That's not us. Not today. We're not withholding. Today we're going to step in to faith. A generous person will prosper. That's us. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. That's the commitment that we are making today. Now, I have a friend who says, hey, I look at things scientifically. I got to do the math. It has to add up. If you do the math, you have to, well, matter of fact, let's do the math. If you have 10 apples and you give away 5 apples, how many apples do you have? You're not very good at math. Let's try that again. If you have 10 apples and you give away 5 apples, how many apples do you have? Very good. Okay, 5 apples, right? That's not what this passage said. This passage said, as you give away, what happens is somehow you end up with everything that you need. You prosper. That's God's math. It's the math of faith, where God is at work in our lives. The third observation is this. Commitment opens the door for God to do more than we could ask or imagine. It opens the door. You see, Abraham watched this happen over and over again in his life. Abraham went from a man who was 60 years old and childless. Now, it's tough to not have children from a personal standpoint. But in his day and age, it was everything because your legacy was absolutely your children. He didn't have any. He went from that to God saying, you will become a great nation, and that nation is going to bless others. Do you think he could have ever imagined that you and I were part of that promise? Do you think he could ever imagine that there's this group of people in New Jersey who have come to love each other and interact with each other and find a different way of life, and it's connected to what he said, what he did? Can you imagine that he would ever know that there's this group of teenagers, we just watched them this morning, who would interact with God and it's part of him taking that step? Did you know this morning you're going to take a step? And when you do, you're going to step into God keeping the promise to you that he can do beyond what you could ever imagine. When Lori and I started Skyline, we have this one dream. And it's the one dream that actually keeps me up at night. There's this one thing that keeps me up at night. There's something I want you to experience. I want you to experience what it's like to find out that God is the God who can do beyond what you can imagine. That God wants to work in your life in a way that you could never imagine. I want to be able to give you the experience that I've had. So I would love to be able to experience the kind of love and what it's like to have Christ to be at the center of your marriage the way that Lori and I do. I don't want you to have my marriage, but I want you to experience that. I would love for you to experience what Lori and I have experienced in raising our kids and having Christ be the center of that, the relationship that we have with our kids now. I wish you could experience that. But you have to step into that for that to happen. It works a little bit like this. When I was, throughout my life, God has asked me to step into situations where if he doesn't come through, I'm in huge trouble. In one of these situations, I stepped into what God asked me to do, and as a result, I was $10,000 in debt. I did not have a place to live, and somebody in Bloomfield said, hey, you can live in my room, but it was me and Laura and our two daughters. So we lived in their room. They had their own family, three-bedroom house. We lived in that one room. It was a pretty tough time. And the lady who owned the house would come to me and say, listen, I just want you to know I've been praying for you, Chris. I've been praying for you that you would have, God would give you a house in Bloomfield that's beyond anything you could imagine. It made me so mad. I was like, I don't need that spiritual anything God can, I just need a house. I don't care if it's a beat up house. I just need a house. You know what's crazy? I live in a house in Bloomfield that is beyond anything I could have ever imagined. I actually do this. I actually drive around Bloomfield. I think I have the best house in all of Bloomfield. Now, do I want you to have my house? No. You can come live with us, but you can't have my house. I want you to experience, and guess what? This card represents that. I want you to experience stepping into. You never get to see that God is like that if you don't step into it. And that's what this is about today. So, today what we're doing is we're opening our hands. And God has been talking to you. All through this series, he's been interacting with you. And today I'm asking you that together we say yes to whatever God is asking. We had an advanced commitment night, and during that time, a number of people stepped out and said yes. And so we caught some of their stories along the way. I'd like you to take a look at it.
Unfinished has been a really amazing experience. It's invited me to really dig deep in and engage with God, let him tap into me and just see how he brings the best out in me as well.
I feel like he's been asking me to, whatever I'm doing, like do at 100%. Don't do it just to get by. Don't do it just because I was asked, but like do it from a place of like joy and happiness and really just give it your all.
100% involvement and engagement beyond what I thought my capabilities were.
Because at first we weren't given anything towards the church. Now we do a lot of time in church.
For me, I've been wrestling the most with the time and talent card. God's really been placing on my heart how much of a priority Skyline and my church family is, and just giving back to God and that community.
I'm so jealous of my time, and I don't have a lot of it up for my own self because I'm a teacher and I'm a mom. So God was like, I have given you time. That's my time. You need to keep your hands open and be generous with the time that I've allowed you to have, because he says, this is the day the Lord has made.
God has really been pushing me to think about the importance of talking about giving and commitment and talent and time with youth, and not shying away from that subject because they're young.
So when I accepted the managing director role for Sky Kids and Sky Youth, I remember before that praying to him and saying, how could I give up all these hours? I don't have that many hours in a week. What he said to me was, I'll help you make the time. You just need to surrender and trust me.
He is worthy of my trust.
I wasn't trusting him with everything, and it's made me want to be more committed in that area.
To fully commit to this means to fully trust in God.
I finally trust God, and we trust that he will always provide. Showing me that I should just trust in him more than letting my fear lead me more than he has, because he has shown me time and time again that he has provided.
To trust God, to remember that he has always provided, and for us, for our big family, to the impossible,
to trust God, to trust him to provide, to trust him to lead me in the direction that he wants me to go.
Taking that step of trusting God.
I've been working through what it means for God to be in control and for me to trust him, and also even trusting others.
So my commitment that I'm making to God is that I trust him in what his plan is for Skyline.
I'm still wrestling with the financial commitment, but I know God's working in me there too.
This will be the first time in my life that I'm actually going to trust God with my finances wholeheartedly.
Being able to surrender, meaning humbling oneself.
So this commitment gave me an opportunity to actually go and surrender, to realize that it's not just about my planning. So it's a little nerve-wracking knowing that we're leaving everything to God.
I am nervous. Literally, God was like, hey, remember when you made that commitment to let your husband lead you? Hey, remember when you guys made that commitment that, you know, you said you didn't want to handle anything financial? And I was like, really? Really, God, we're having this conversation right now? You're reminding me of all that right now.
I really felt that God was calling me to surrender not only to him, but really to my husband.
When Logan was born, God told me that my son don't belong to me. Also, my resources don't belong to me or my time. It belongs to God. So who am I to say no? I won't give you my time or resources.
We said we really wanted to seek his kingdom first, and we want it to be kingdom focused, to just fully open ourselves up and surrender to God.
You know, it's not about the number, it's about our love for God, because at the end of the day, it's not our money, it's God's money.
What he said, this was a big step for me, because playing around with the figure in my head and having to discuss it with my husband. But I finally kept repeating the song in my head, fear is not my future, you are, and that is what kept me going and going and going till now. I'm finally here today, and when I gave in my card and turned the little light bulb, I remember what Pastor Chris said, which he said, think about that light that you're lighting somebody's life. So I cannot wait to see what happens in the next 2 years.
God has invited me toward the future, that I am his, I'm surrendered to him. My life's not on my shoulders, it's on his shoulders. That's what it means to me.
So, this card, it matters. What? It matters for your personal stepping in and trusting God. It's about your heart toward him and his heart towards you. It also matters to our church becoming one equipped family. It matters for the dream that we have to influence our community so that more and more children grow up in a home where mom loves dad and dad loves mom. It matters to the many marriages throughout our community who have not met us yet that we want to be able to influence so that people can go from, man, this is hopeless, to, oh my goodness, it's incredible what happens when you put Christ at the center of your marriage. It's amazing the kind of love you can experience when Christ is at the center of your marriage. It matters to the hundreds of children over the next 20 years. They're going to do Bible memory. They're going to learn what the Word of God says, so that when they grow up, when they face a world that tells them the exact opposite way to live, they're like, no. I know I can trust God and move forward. It really matters. And so as we take this step, a number of you have been wrestling with the number that you would put here, and I want to encourage you. There's a reason why we're afraid to put the number down. Because if God doesn't come through, then how does this work out? It's the beauty. You've got to see God do amazing things when you step into what God's calling you to do. And so practically speaking, if you would, grab your card. If you open it up on the left-hand side, you will see the primary goal, which is 100% engagement. And so we've encouraged you from the beginning, no matter what the numbers are, whether you give more than you've given before or not, it doesn't matter, that everybody fill out a card today, every couple or every individual, fill out a card and be a part of what we're doing today. To remind you, those that came to Advancement Commitment Night, that you're refilling out a card today so that we're all doing it together. Practically, on the side of the card, which is the two-year commitment, the very first box at the top is what you already give. It's important that this is a one fund gift. We're including what we already give as part of the unfinished. The second one is that which you would increase, our expanded annual generosity. What is it that you're like, okay, God, this is what I'm going to risk over the next years. This is where I'm going to add to what we've been doing. You add those two together. This is a two-year commitment. So my promise is for the next 2 years, you put that over here in this box. And then the last box is the gifts from my stored resources. You heard one of the young people say, hey, I'm selling my toys. And you'd be, oh, that's cute. Toys are expensive. It probably is going to be a lot of money, right? And Lori and I are selling one of our, it's my toy, selling one of my toys. That's part of this piece here to be able to take that step. You may have other things that are there. You add that together, and then this is the big box, and you fill up the big box here, as well as your name and address. It's a commitment. You can't make a commitment without putting your name and address. It's part of it. It's what we're doing. Now, for some of you, you're like, listen, I know the number. I know the number I'm given over the next 2 years. I got it all figured out. Do I have to fill all this out? You don't have to fill all this out. You can just put in the number at the bottom if you'd like to. But that's just to help you to be able to do this as we've worked our way through it. Unfinished. God is at work. This is an engagement with God Himself. And so what's going to happen next is I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to give you a few minutes to interact with it. You may want to, with your spouse one more time, look at her and go, okay, is this it? Is this what we're trusting God for? For some of you, there's been a number that God started to talk to you about a few weeks ago, and you were like, that's just me. That's ridiculous. There's no way. But He keeps bringing it up. I encourage you. For Lori and I, this is the biggest one we've ever done. I encourage you to step into that gift. Why? Because that's who you are. That is who you are. Because He wants to show you that He can do beyond what you ever imagined. But you got to step in. And He's inviting you to do just that this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to become one equipped family. Thank you for these last few weeks, as there's been so many awesome conversations we've had together and that people have had with you. Lord, one last time I ask you, help people to understand that this is between you and them. And that you always, always give your first and best to us. And you're inviting us into that life. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'm not exaggerating, and this is not a manipulative tool. Lori just upped the number between first service and second service. So whatever it is that's happening between the two of you, I encourage you to take that step. So I've asked Lori to share a little bit before we hand in our cards.
So this morning, as I was getting dressed, and I'm behind really a lot this morning, my husband just tells me, oh, I forgot to tell you, you're speaking for a little bit this morning. And I'm behind on everything. But I'm not really speaking, I'm just telling a story. We have lots of stories to tell. But about 2 years ago, we asked a family to come stay with us. Most of you know them. Katie and Clutchy eBay came and stayed with us for a while they were looking for a house in the neighborhood. And during that time, you know, they said, oh, we can pay you rent or something like that. I said, oh, no, you don't need to do that. And during that time, I was watching things, and it seemed like our electric bill was going down. There are four in the family. Our electric bill went down. Not only that, our water bill went down. This can't be. There's four of them. And Katie was working from our house. She was there all day. And Clutchy was there a lot, too. What's going on? The whole time they were there, our electric bill and light bill went down. And our water bill went down the whole time they were there. We saved almost $400 while they were there. And when they moved out, I thought, oh, maybe I should ask them to move back in. But it's amazing how when you step out and you ask and give for God, because it wasn't just for God, I wanted them to stay around. But when you do stuff, you never know what God's going to do. And he did. He took care of us. We didn't need any money. God took care of us the whole time. It's just amazing. And we've seen time after time, like he told you the house story, time after time, when we do for God, he overdoes for us. He always does, every time. But first, you have to step out for him. And I have so much fun doing that. It's really fun when you watch what he does for you.
We want you to know that we love you. We are we're grateful that we get to be a part of your life. We're grateful for what God's going to do in our family over the next few years and set us up for what's going to happen for the next 20 years. And we invite you, with all faith, to join us. What you do is you'll come, you'll bring your card, you'll drop it in this box. Someone will hand you a puzzle piece. On that puzzle piece, there'll be a number on the back, and you'll find that number on this puzzle here, 108. It's my wife's job to find the piece. Right here. Good job, honey.
There's 109.
As you do, we're going to sing this song. And as you sing it to Christ, but sing it to each other. Right? Your family members are always encouraged when they hear you sing. So let's do it together.